Our scripture is 1 John 3, verses 1 to 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure.
Amen. Good morning. So nice to see you here this morning. And Rudy, if you're watching, we're still singing your wife's favorite song, I'm a Child of the King. Some of you remember that. When I hear that song, I remember a time, and I apologize if I've told this before. We were in Cuba, and it came time for the Sabbath baptism. Over there, when you were baptized, you asked somebody to sing your favorite song. And so some person who was being baptized asked the pastor's wife to sing Via Dolorosa. She could sing like she did. Yeah. Right in the middle of that song, the rooster crowed. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's what we said. Yeah, if that doesn't put chills up your spine, it's a beautiful song. Thank you for singing that. Our topic this morning is the blessed assurance of salvation. What a time we are living in. Not too many years ago, there was a very talented man. He was a storyteller, and he had acquired a substantial volume of both notoriety and wealth. Sadly, he developed a dreadful disease, and it wasn't too long before he found himself on his deathbed. Not wishing to lose the opportunity for one last show of display, William Sorohan telephoned the Associated Press from his Fresno, California home and told them of his impending demise. Characteristically, he confided that he wished this information to be published only upon his passing. Further, he requested that his final words would be released with this thought, saying, "Everybody has got to die. Yet, I have always believed that an exception would be made in my case." Now what? Turns out this question is one that we all have wondered about at one time or another. Even sincere Christians have wondered about which resurrection they will arise from. We all need to know the answer on what is going to happen after we have breathed our very last. Now, as uncomfortable as that reality may seem this morning, what is a great deal worse is not knowing whether I shall be among those who will enter through those pearly gates on that magnificent day. Many years ago, someone penned a line urging us not to remain in perilous uncertainty whether we are among the saved or the unsaved. Testimonies to Ministers and Gospel Workers, page 443. Now, as you well know, the Sabbath School Study Guide has a study in the book of Hebrews this quarter. Just a few days back, and to be precise, on Friday, March 4, our study guide made this summarizing statement. The book of Hebrews is about the assurance of salvation. And I hope you've learned that this quarter. Just how important is the assurance of salvation to God's end time saints? Can we actually know whether we possess our salvation as an existing reality? Or is it simply a proud and meaningless notion? We can all thank our Creator God for the answer to that question, as He has given us a blessed answer in His message to His dear friend John. 1 John 5:13. You just read it in the responsive reading. These things I write unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So here near the close of this beautiful letter, John seems to indicate his very reason for writing it. The SDA Bible commentary informs us, the original Greek suggests that the knowledge here referred to is intuitive and absolute and implies full conviction. It would appear that the faith of John's readers was in danger of weakening, and he was endeavoring to bring it up to full strength. End of quote. So let us consider here this morning the ways in which Jesus himself assures us through the Apostle John that we may have the gift of salvation in this very moment. The Word of God is very explicit on this. We can trust that God wanted this point to be very clear to His end-time saints. The epistle of 1 John has much to say about our confidence in the salvation which has been so graciously provided by Jesus Christ. You may head that direction in your Bible, as there will be several points that we will be addressing here. The book of 1 John. First text we'll be reading is 1 John 4, verse 15. The first point this morning, let us recognize that there is no salvation aside from Jesus Christ. This statement may sound a little bit ludicrous to a Christian, but it's something that we must completely endorse, embrace, and live by on a daily basis. You see, a genuine faith in Jesus is in of itself evidence of salvation. 1 John 4:15, whoever confesses Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Next, we will be found honoring Christ as the Lord of all that is living. Remember, he's our Creator God. The evidence that Christ is Lord of our lives will be manifest in our conformity to the will and to the Word of God. 1 John 2, verse 3 to 5. How can we be sure that we belong to Him? By obeying His commandments. If someone says, I belong to God, but doesn't obey those commandments, His commandments, that person is a liar and does not live in the truth. But those who obey God's Word really do love Him. That is the way to know whether or not we live in Him. The third point, Jesus' followers will be found walking after the example of their Savior. Jesus simply cannot be a Savior to those who decline to follow His example. 1 John 2:6. Whoever says that he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. It's kind of like that little heartfelt song we sing. Be like Jesus, this my song. Be like Jesus all day long. Fourth point, we want to be found habitually practicing righteousness rather than sin. 1 John 2:29. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. I trust that we all understand that it takes a full complement of our cooperation with God to be found consistently walking in the light of heaven. I trust we all understand that it takes a full complement of our cooperation with God to be found consistently walking in the light of heaven. Amen. How true we know that to be. Our next text is 1 John 3:14. This text says that we will be found loving our fellow believers. We know that we have passed out of death into light because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Seems like we've been studying about this a little bit recently, doesn't it? Incidentally, this is the only reference in the New Testament to that phrase, love the brethren. And again, the SDA Bible Commentary weighs in on this, in quotes, how important it is that the Christian practice the art of loving the brethren, that he may be in harmony with the principles of the kingdom for which he is preparing. That's volume 7, page 654. Finally, the saints will be found possessing the awareness of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 3, verse 24. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. By this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given to us. It seems apparent that no one can be at home with God while living contrary to his expressed will. But he who is doing the will of God will one day make his home with the Almighty on a permanent basis. End of quote. That's SDA Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 658. I think you can see that it's sheer presumption for anyone to claim that their salvation is intact, all the while not trusting in Christ with a sincere heart, not keeping his commandments, not walking in his footsteps, nor loving fellow Christians and practicing righteousness. It is imperative that we are honest with ourselves in this matter. Now, you understand that these evidences are not simply applied as a display of good works, which someone has cleverly disguised to earn salvation, because nothing we can do can ever add to what Christ has already done for us. Rather, these are gifted qualities which naturally follow from an established and continuing personal relationship with God. In this, John encourages us to maintain our faith if we would continue to share in the eternal life of God through Jesus Christ. 1 John 2, verse 23 to 25, anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either, but anyone who confesses the Son has the Father as well. So you must remain faithful to do what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will continue to live with fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life that he has promised to us. Yet, despite all the tutoring that we are given, insecurity abounds. Why is it with all these affirmations that we've just read that there is any uncertainty, any bewilderment or ambiguity or confusion that broods over the believer's assurance of salvation? First, you know the answer to this. First of all, we must recognize that there was someone always working against us. Do you understand that in its fullest? We understand that he does not want us to ever have the blessed assurance of salvation as it is in Jesus. We don't ever want to find ourselves listening to that line of propaganda. That's counterfeit thinking at its worst, and we will want to steer clear of it altogether. Then there is some misunderstanding of the words that were written by Ellen White concerning the assurance of our salvation. On one hand, she describes the assurance of salvation for Christ's followers with these vibrant words. If you give yourself to him and accept him as your Savior, then sinful as your life may have been, for his sake, you are accounted righteous. Christ's character stands in place of your character, and you have been accepted before God just as if you had not sinned. Isn't that amazing? Christ's Object Lessons, page 62. On the other hand now, she writes this, those who accept the Savior, however, sincere their conversion, should never be taught to say or feel that they are saved. This is misleading. Everyone should be taught to cherish hope and faith, but even when we give ourselves to Christ and know that He accepts us, we are not beyond the reach of temptation. Christ Object Lessons, page 155. You notice that this statement says we are not to teach others to say or feel that they are saved. Why would that be? This is precisely because it is not our work to do so. We were never given that assignment at all. That would be the unauthorized use of judgment. The truth about your salvation is a message that comes to you in the form of a communication from the Holy Spirit, not from another human being. Instead, we focus our teachings on the hope that we cherish and the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. I mean, just stop and think about this for a moment. How could one person possibly enlighten someone else on the position that they have been judged and are at this moment in time eternally saved? We don't believe that, nor do we teach it. That determination and the associated proceedings that go with it fall strictly under the prerogatives of God. Further misunderstanding of this statement occurs when the first and the second portion of this statement is separated. In other words, they're taken out of context. Rather than discounting our assurance, the second quoted phrase, "we know that He accepts us," really harmonizes well with our opening statement from 1 John 5, verse 13. You may know that you have eternal life. Turns out the first part of this statement is her response to the question of once saved, always saved. So this statement is actually a warning of cheap grace, which is advocated by those who profess Christianity, all the while continuing to disobey God's requirements. You can see that it actually may be stating a falsehood when they say, "I am saved." But then she offers up this very important point. It is essential to have faith in Jesus and to believe that you are saved through Him. Selected Messages, Volume 1, page 373. Further, it is stated, the perishing sinner may say, "I need not remain a moment longer unsaved. Christ died and rose again for my justification and sanctification, and He will save me now." Same book, page 392. Now, the second point follows is this. There seems to be today a failure to understand the difference between and the relationship between justification and sanctification. This breakdown stems from separating our pardon that is granted by Jesus and the holiness in living which He offers to us, each one. Charles Spurgeon saw this danger when he said, "God's blessings are blessings with both hands. In one hand He gives pardon, and in the other hand He always gives holiness. No man may have one without having the other." Perhaps you can see that our sanctification begins with justification, and that our justification accompanies us all along our journey with God. So, must we wait a lifetime for this all-sufficient gift of Christ's righteousness? Yes or no? May we possess it just now as we accept with gladness and contrition and consecration. We praise God that the answer is very clear from the Bible on this. Even now there are so many blessings at hand that attend our salvation. At this very moment, you are the sons and daughters of God, heirs of the kingdom. As partakers of the divine nature through the Holy Spirit, we come into living union with Jesus Christ. Yeah. Jesus emphatically told the Jewish leaders who were attempting to discount his connection with the Father, "I assure you, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me will have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sin, but they have already passed from death unto life." That's John 5, verse 24. So friends, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord is ours. Today, March 26, 2022. As a matter of fact, Jesus died just so your life may continue on this same pathway forever. You know, Jesus has done so much to get us to heaven. He died for you and for me. You know, this week I heard a really sad but interesting story about a Savior. Maybe some of you read this story. I read it yesterday, but it happened somewhere in the middle of the week. And I think it was in Florida. Some fellow, and I believe it was his girlfriend, but it was a woman, and I think it was his girlfriend, went on one of these little water devices. I think they call them wave runners or jet skis. They were blasting around some area down there in some lake in Florida, and they both popped off. They were going too fast or around the corner too fast or something. Neither one had a life jacket on, and the woman could not swim. Pretty soon, a fisherman who was in his boat with his wife, they were elderly, shall we say, 70. So they were out fishing and they spotted these two in the water. And they went over and rescued them, pulled them into their boat. Did anybody read this story? So they get into the boat and the man that had been driving the little skidoo, or whatever it's called, became belligerent and tried to take over the boat from the fisherman. And it got so bad that his girlfriend pushed him back into the water. And in her words, he was demon-possessed. Well, somehow he got back into the boat and started fighting with the gentleman who had saved him. And the man who had saved him had a gun, and he began to pistol whip this guy to try to get him to see the picture clearly. But there was nothing to it, and he finally shot the guy. And you know, there's got to be a spiritual lesson in this. Here was somebody who had just been saved, but all he had to do was cooperate with his Savior. You see the point? All he had to do was cooperate, but he was belligerent and discounting and fought with his Savior, and he lost his life over it. Crazy story, isn't it? But there's a lesson there. I hope you can see that the manifold grace of God assures us that our present promise of salvation may eventually result in our eternal redemption. In living faith, we may ask for and receive salvation in the fullness of Him who is our all in all. Ephesians 1:23. After all, He became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Who then is your salvation today, at present, right this moment? Right today, hour by hour. Who is your life eternal? And who is our all in all? Yes, it's the same one, the very one, who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with sadness? No, with exceeding joy. It thrills Him to be able to do that. Remember, this is the one that died so you could be there. Jude 24. How grateful we are for this truth as it is in Jesus. Now, finally, today we may note that the saints of the Most High fail to understand something. We fail how to live knowingly in the reality of the already and not yet. In Adventist World magazine, October of 2017, Jiri Moskala explains it like this. We have eternal life, but not yet. We are saved, but not yet. We are perfect in Christ, but not yet. We sit with Christ by the right side of the Heavenly Father, but not yet. Thus we experience the true joy of salvation. It's coming. And I'm sure you understand the dynamics of this statement. So in conclusion, I hope that you comprehend with full appreciation that we may have the assurance of eternal salvation right now. Salvation may be ours moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, as we are found living in Christ, our righteousness. This is not because of any confidence that we have in ourselves. Rather, it's because of our confidence in Jesus Christ. Soon, when Christ returns, our present hope of redemption will become a fully tangible reality. Then it will be that Jesus himself will swing open the gate as he says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Matthew 25:34, and I know that we're all looking to that day. Gratefully, the Word of God continues to inform us on these matters. Each one of us today has the privilege of placing our confidence in the One who will ultimately deliver us from these most remarkable circumstances that we presently find ourselves within. May God bless us as we learn more about His love for us through reading and studying the Word. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for all that you have done on our behalf, both corporately and individually. Thank you for what you continue to do for us and what you will be doing in the future. And we also thank you for keeping us informed through the Word of God on everything that you have done and are doing for us. We are so grateful to you, and we pray that we will live our lives accordingly as those who possess the blessed assurance of salvation in Jesus Christ. And we ask it in His name. Amen.